Imagine logging into your Google Ads account on a random Tuesday, and your conversions have just dropped by like 50% overnight.
Oh man, yeah, that is a brutal position to be in.
Right. And the thing is, the actual sales are still happening. I mean, your Shopify dashboard confirms the revenue is coming in, but your smart bidding algorithm is just absolutely panicking.
Yeah, your target CPA starts spiking.
Exactly. ROAS is tanking. The platform is pulling back your spend because, well, it thinks your traffic has suddenly turned to garbage and you haven't changed your creative, you haven't touched your bid.
The classic blind spot, the culprit is almost always tracking.
Yeah, an updated cookie banner probably went live on your site. Users are clicking reject all, and your tracking machine just went completely blind. If you run performance campaigns, you probably have a visceral reaction to that scenario.
Oh, absolutely. Because you rely on those signals.
You really do. And when privacy updates shatter them, you're the one left holding the bag. Which is exactly why we are taking full ownership of the implementation today. We're doing a deep dive into the actual mechanics of Google Consent Mode V2 and privacy compliant tracking.
Yeah, and this is so important right now. The traditional dynamic was always, marketers handle the media buying, developers handle the tracking infrastructure. But the technical landscape has just shifted so dramatically.
It really has, especially with privacy regulations like the EEA mandates. That old divide just doesn't work anymore. I mean, if you're waiting on a 2-week engineering sprint just to update a consent tag, your campaigns are bleeding money.
They're hemorrhaging money. You have to know how to do this yourself.
Right. So this isn't about like ticking a compliance box to keep your legal team happy. This is about learning how to honor a user clicking reject all while still feeding your Meta and Google algorithms the data they need. We're looking at the sources, the docs, and actual tag manager setups to figure out how you can build this infrastructure yourself.
And honestly, the transition from the original consent mode to version 2 is the perfect place to start. The confusion surrounding it is causing massive, massive implementation errors.
Okay, let's unpack that. What exactly changed?
Well, to fix the tracking, we have to look at the anatomy of what Google actually updated. So version 1 was fundamentally a hardware-level control mechanism. You basically had two parameters, right? Ad storage and analytic storage.
Okay, so just those two.
Just those two. And their entire job was to dictate whether a Google tag was legally permitted to read or write a text file, a cookie, onto the user's physical hard drive.
So essentially a firewall, like a bouncer at a club. If ad storage was set to denied, the browser literally locks the door.
Exactly. The tag couldn't drop the cookie and it couldn't retrieve an existing one. It was very binary.
Very binary, right. But then version 2 rolls out, mostly to comply with the Digital Markets Act, and they introduce these new parameters.
Yeah, two completely different types of parameters, adducer data and ad personalization. And this is the critical failure point we see across like hundreds of audits. Marketers assume these new parameters act like the old firewalls.
Wait, they don't?
They don't. They don't touch local storage at all.
Okay, so let me get this straight. If I go into my tag manager right now and I configure my cookie banner to set adducer data and ad personalization to denied for European traffic, I haven't actually stopped my site from dropping tracking cookies.
You absolutely have not, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you could still be dropping advertising cookies left and right, which is a direct violation of user consent. Those version 2 parameters, they act as API flags. They get appended to the payload going to Google servers.
Ah, okay. So it's not the bouncer at the door anymore. It's more like the manager inside giving downstream instructions.
Exactly. Adducer data dictates whether Google is legally allowed to process identifiable information like a hashed email for enhanced conversions once it reaches their servers. And ad personalization dictates whether they can put that user on a remarketing list.
So they are server-side instructions, not browser-level firewalls.
Yes, precisely.
I totally see the disconnect now. Marketers are treating all four parameters like they do the same job. So if you don't explicitly command ad storage to denied, the tag just executes its default behavior, drops the cookie, and then basically sends a payload to Google saying, "Hey, I dropped a cookie on this guy, but legally, you can't use this data for remarketing."
Right. Which puts you in a terrible legal gray area because you still performed an unauthorized write operation on the user's device.
That's a nightmare.
It is. To have a bulletproof implementation, you have to control both the read-write access at the browser level and the processing instructions at the server level. All four parameters have to be explicitly mapped to the user's choice.
Okay, that structural understanding makes a huge difference. You have to control the device and the destination. So taking that theory and putting it into Google Tag Manager mechanics, the entire foundation relies on getting those rules established before any measurement tags fire, right?
Yes, absolutely critical.
And I know the documentation stresses this consent initialization firing phase, but I'll be honest, my default marketer behavior for the last 5 years has just been to stick a standard all pages trigger on everything.
Oh, right? I know. It's so common.
Right. Page loads, script runs. If my Google Ads tag and my cookie banner script both fire on all pages, doesn't the system just sort it out?
It definitely doesn't. And relying on that is exactly how you trigger what developers call a race condition.
A race condition.
Yeah. So JavaScript is single-threaded, but GTM processes tags asynchronously. When the page loads, GTM looks at everything attached to that all pages trigger and essentially fires them all off at the exact same time.
Okay.
So if your Google Ads tag executes its payload even just a microsecond before your cookie banner script finishes updating the data layer with the consent state, your ads tag grabs an undefined state.
And without explicit instructions, the tag just reverts to its default behavior, which historically means it tracks everything.
Exactly. Which is a massive privacy breach. GTM will actually throw a critical error in your debugging panel that says, a tag read consent state before a default was set.
Oh, I've seen that error.
Yeah. The whole architecture of GTM was fundamentally updated to prevent this. They introduced the consent initialization trigger, which operates on an entirely separate earlier event loop than standard initialization.
Okay, so you're basically forcing the container to process the rules of engagement before it even looks at your marketing tags.
Yep.
And the sources highly recommend taking it a step further, right? Setting the tag priority to 10 within that specific phase.
Yeah, setting the priority to 10 is huge. It ensures that even if you have multiple things trying to fire during consent initialization, your default state, which really should be locking down all four parameters to denied for EEA traffic, wins the race every single time.
It's the absolute first thing the browser executes.
Yes.
But wait, that creates a logistical nightmare on the user experience side, doesn't it? Like, think about a returning customer. They visited my site yesterday. They clicked accept all on the cookie banner. Today, they come back. My priority 10 tag fires instantly on page load and sets everything to denied. But my consent management platform, my CMP like OneTrust or whatever, it takes a heavy second to render its UI, check its own database, and realize, wait, this user already accepted yesterday.
Right, I see where you're going.
If my Google Ads tag fires in that little gap, it thinks the user denied tracking, and I lose the attribution for a loyal customer.
You've hit on the exact friction point of asynchronous CMPs. They lag. The solution built into the framework for this is a parameter called wait for update.
Wait for update.
Yeah. You configure your default consent tag to include a 500 millisecond delay.
Wait, half a second. That is an eternity in page load time. What is the tag actually doing during that delay?
Well, it's holding the Google tags in a suspended state. The default denied status is locked in, but the framework tells your measurement tags, hey, do not execute your payloads yet. We're going to give the CMP 500 milliseconds to wake up, check local storage for previous preference, and push an update.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And if the CMP pushes a granted update within that window, the suspended tags are released and they fire with full cookie access completely seamlessly.
That is incredibly smart. And the beautiful thing about modern CMPs is that we don't even have to write custom JavaScript to execute those updates anymore.
No, thankfully.
Like the days of paying a developer to manually wire the accept button to a custom data layer.push event are over.
Yeah.
There are, what, over 35 native community templates in GTM now for platforms like UserCentrics and CookieBot?
Yeah, it's so much easier now. You literally just drop your account ID into the template and it handles the entire translation between the banner UI and the GTM data layer automatically.
It entirely democratizes the setup. It shifts the burden from custom coding to just simple interface configuration. Okay, so we have the foundation built. The defaulters set, the race conditions are eliminated, the CMP is communicating. But we have to address the elephant in the room here.
Let's do it.
When a user actually clicks reject all, what happens to our performance data? Because, I mean, legal compliance is great, but if my TROAS campaign loses 50% of its conversion signals, my ROAS still tanks.
Yeah, and this brings us to the core business decision in version 2, which is basic mode versus advanced mode.
Okay, break that down for us.
So this is where the marketing department usually goes head-to-head with the legal department. Basic mode is the legacy approach. If you implement basic mode, a denied state acts as a hard block. GTM physically prevents the Google tags from firing at all.
So the browser never even makes a network request to Google servers.
Never. The data just drops into a black hole, complete signal loss.
Ouch.
Yeah. But advanced mode fundamentally changes the mechanics. If a user rejects cookies, your Google tags still execute immediately.
Wait, they still fire?
They still fire, but they execute in a strictly governed state. They are prohibited from reading or writing to local storage, but they do still send an HTTP network request to Google. And this is what the documentation refers to as a cookieless ping.
Okay, I need to understand the anatomy of this ping. If it doesn't have a cookie and it can't reference an identifier to know who I am or how many times I've visited the site, what value is it actually passing back to the Google Ads algorithm?
The value is in the aggregated anonymous telemetry. When the tag fires that network request, it intentionally strips out the standard Google Analytics cookie headers. The browser sends this very bare bones payload.
Just the absolute basics.
Right. It essentially communicates, hey, a conversion event just occurred on this specific URL. It was completed on an iPhone using Safari in London at 2:00 p.m.
Okay, but how does Google differentiate that from just a broken tag implementation? Like, how does it know it's a privacy ping?
Through a specific URL parameter that gets appended to the network request called GCD. Yeah. That parameter is a hashed string that encodes the exact status of those four consent parameters we talked about earlier. It tells Google servers, this ping is coming from a user who explicitly denied ad storage and adducer data. Do not attempt to process this for remarketing and do not expect a client identifier.
That's fascinating. So legal teams see a network request firing to googleanalytics.com after a user clicks reject, and they probably panic.
Oh, they definitely panic.
But the marketer's defense here is that the GCD parameter basically guarantees a payload is stripped of personal identifiers and is strictly used for aggregated modeling.
Exactly. And honestly, that defense is worth fighting for because advanced mode recovers 30 to 50% more attribution data than basic mode.
30 to 50%, that is a staggering amount of recovered revenue for the algorithm.
Right.
But I mean, there has to be a structural limitation somewhere.
Well, yeah.
Like, if I land on the homepage and I reject cookies, there's no client ID. If I browse through five different product pages and then finally buy something 20 minutes later, how does the system connect that checkout event back to my original click on the Google ad?
It can't. That is the major technical limitation you have to accept. Without a cookie stored in the browser, there is no persistent identifier to link those page views together.
So to Google, it just looks like random events.
Yeah, to the Google servers, that 20-minute session looks like six different, completely unrelated users materializing out of thin air.
Wow. Unless they change their mind, right?
Yeah.
The sources mention a feature called hit reprocessing.
Oh, hit reprocessing is incredibly clever. So say a user is on a landing page. They reject cookies, they browse for a minute, and then they interact with an element that prompts them to accept cookies on that same page. Because the page hasn't reloaded, the local memory of the browser actually still holds those denied pings. The moment consent is granted, GTM retroactively appends the new cookie identifier to those previous pings and resends them to the server as consented hits.
Wait, really? But only for that specific page view, right? Any history prior to the current URL is just permanently disconnected.
Correct. Cross-page hits cannot be reprocessed. There's no technical mechanism to stitch them together retroactively without having dropped a cookie in the first place.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But even with that limitation, I mean, a 50% recovery rate is the difference between a campaign scaling and a campaign getting paused.
Oh, absolutely.
So we need to follow these cookie-less pings into the actual Google Ads algorithm. Because an anonymous ping from an iPhone in London doesn't show up in my dashboard as a sale. It has to be transformed into a modeled conversion.
Right. This is where we bridge the gap between anonymous telemetry and actionable campaign data. Google's AI relies on probabilistic matching.
Okay, how does that work?
It looks at the massive data set of users who did accept cookies. It has full visibility into their behavior. It knows that, say, iOS users in London who click a specific ad at 2:00 p.m. convert at a rate of, I don't know, 4%.
So it creates a behavioral cohort based on observable signals, browser type, time of day, operating system, ad interaction.
Yes. And then it takes the anonymous, cookieless pings you're sending via advanced mode, looks at their telemetry, and maps them against those established cohorts.
That's incredible.
It is. It calculates the probability that those anonymous pings resulted in a conversion. But, and this is key, the AI incorporates a critical behavioral baseline. Users who reject cookies are historically 2 to 5 times less likely to convert than users who consent.
That makes intuitive sense, actually. Someone who is highly privacy conscious and rejecting tracking probably isn't impulse buying from a targeted ad at the same rate as someone who just clicks accept all.
Exactly. The AI heavily discounts the unconsented traffic to avoid overreporting. It's a very conservative model. And because it requires such complex statistical analysis, Google doesn't just turn it on for everyone.
Right, there's a threshold.
Yeah. The machine learning requires a dense training data set to ensure accuracy. Your campaign must hit a strict volume threshold, at least 700 ad clicks per 7-day period, aggregated by country and domain.
700 clicks a week. Okay, so if you're running a hyper-niche, low-volume B2B campaign, you might never cross that threshold.
You might not.
And then your cookie-less pings will just sit in the system, completely unmodeled. You stay stuck in the training phase.
Which is a really frustrating reality for smaller advertisers.
Yeah.
But if you do hit the threshold, the way Google presents this data in your dashboard is highly strategic. They do not separate the AI-modeled conversions into a distinct column.
Oh, I can see data purists hating that.
Yeah, they blend them directly into your primary conversions column, mixed perfectly with your observed cookie-based conversions.
But marketers generally want to know exactly what is factual and what is estimated. Why would Google force the blend?
To protect your smart bidding algorithms, target CPA and target ROAS require a single unified source of truth to optimize against.
Okay, I see.
Imagine if they were separated. The algorithm looks at a campaign and sees that 50% of the clicks resulted in zero observable conversions because the users rejected cookies. If it only optimized against the factual data, it would assume that audience segment is worthless and drastically bid down, just suffocating your reach.
It would create a negative feedback loop. So by feeding the modeled conversions directly into the primary column, the algorithm is essentially, well, tricked into maintaining competitive bids for the unconsented traffic because the blended conversion rate remains stable.
It sustains the ecosystem,
yes.
But you do have to adjust your reporting cadence. Because the AI is constantly reevaluating those probabilistic models based on incoming data, those modeled conversions can retroactively fluctuate for up to 5 days.
Wow. So looking at yesterday's ROAS on a Tuesday morning is basically a fool's errand. You really have to wait for the model to stabilize.
You do. You have to be patient.
Okay, so we've covered the infrastructure, the network mechanics, and the algorithmic payoff. But a performance marketer who owns their tracking has to know how to QA their own work,
yeah.
Right? We can't just deploy this blindly. Debugging consent mode requires a very specific workflow in GTM's preview mode.
Yes, and this is where you validate that everything we just discussed is actually happening. When you connect preview mode to your live site, the very first thing you check is the dedicated consent tab in the data layer timeline.
And if that tab is empty?
If that tab is entirely empty, your implementation has fundamentally failed. The container has literally no idea consent mode even exists.
Oh boy. Okay, but if it's active, your job is to basically mimic the user journey, right?
Exactly. You interact with your banner and you verify the timeline. You must see a consent default event firing at the very beginning of the page load. That confirms those priority 10 denied states locked in. And then further up the timeline, after your CMP interaction, you should see a consent update event showing the parameters dynamically flipping to granted.
So you can physically watch the rules of engagement change in real time.
Yep, it's all right there.
And you can click on your Google Ads tag in the summary panel, see that it's successfully fired, but look at the tag details and verify that it executed while ad storage was denied.
That is the ultimate proof right there.
Yeah, that proves your advanced mode cookieless ping was successfully transmitted without dropping a cookie.
It gives you absolute visibility into the plumbing. But debugging is also where you catch catastrophic compliance errors. The biggest pitfall we see right now revolves around enhanced conversions.
Oh, enhanced conversions are crucial. Just to quickly recap, that's the feature where we scrape a user's email or phone number from the checkout page, hash it securely, and send it to Google to match against their logged-in user base, mm-hmm. Right? It recovers conversions that cross-device tracking misses.
That's the one. But consider how that interacts with consent mode V2. Remember the adducer data parameter?
The server-side instruction.
Exactly. The one dictating whether Google can process personal data. If a user clicks reject, that parameter is set to denied.
Oh, I see where this is going. If my GTM container is still configured to scrape the checkout page and attach that hashed email to the conversion tag payload.
You are sending personally identifiable information to an advertising network after the user explicitly withheld consent for personal data processing.
Yikes.
Yeah. it does not matter that ad storage blocked the cookie. Sending the hashed email when adducer data is denied is a severe violation of the EEA policies and the core intent of the DMA.
Because the tag is essentially ignoring the manager's API instructions and shoving the personal data onto the server anyway.
Precisely. You have to explicitly configure your enhanced conversion variables in GTM to only populate if adducer data is granted. That is a mandatory audit point for anyone setting this up.
Wow. If you followed us through this deep dive, your entire perspective on tracking should be different now. You aren't just placing tags on a page anymore.
Not at all.
You are architecting an infrastructure that controls device-level storage, dictates server-side processing, prevents asynchronous race conditions, and rescues up to 50% of your attribution through probabilistic modeling. You've completely removed the engineering bottleneck. You own the signals that dictate your campaign performance.
Which is really the definition of a strategic advantage in a privacy-first landscape. Those who understand the mechanics of data collection will consistently outperform those who only know how to read the final dashboard.
It honestly changes the entire job description of a performance marketer. But before we finish up, I want to leave you with something to consider something about the ultimate trajectory of this technology.
Okay, I'm curious.
So we spent a lot of time breaking down how Google's AI bridges the gap for the 50% of users who reject cookies. It looks at behavioral signatures, time of day, operating systems, and it models the conversions with astonishing accuracy.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
But if probabilistic modeling is already sophisticated enough to run global smart bidding algorithms on billions of dollars of ad spend using nothing but anonymous network pings, what happens when that AI no longer needs the consented training data? I mean, are we simply using our remaining cookie data right now to train the machine learning models that will eventually render observable tracking entirely obsolete?
Wow, it forces us to question if the traditional concept of an individual tracking cookie is already a legacy technology.
We might be actively building the bridge to a completely cookieless ecosystem. Keep that in mind the next time you're auditing your container.